B-Pod Studios.
Belger.
I'm a liar and a phony. One of those no good nicks you keep running away from.
Maz.
I'm a man. Well, nobody's perfect.
Belger and Maz. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Everybody, welcome in. Felger and Maserati coming to you as promised from St. Louis, Missouri, right outside the Enterprise Center as we get ready for game three of the Stanley Cup Finals. Felger, Maz, Murray, fully loaded here from St. Louis. How you fellas doing?
Good, you?
Just peachy. Thank you so much. Murray, you already bought a shirt?
Had to. Otherwise, I was going to have to sweat my balls off with the hoodie I was wearing because I couldn't check into my hotel room, and I was going to never. I wasn't going to be like a hobo and change in the Starbucks that I had to go do all my show prep in. So, yes, I spent $45 on a timely T-shirt.
Okay, but
you're opening up a can of thunder here, Felger.
Murray's cranky.
Just a bit.
Murray. But let's face it, you're going to buy a T-shirt anyway.
Probably, yeah. So, yes, it's just, I got ahead of it early. That's all.
All right. Agenda-free Fridays are driven by the Bernardi Auto Group, where car buying is always agenda-free. Choose from new Acuras, Audis, Hondas, Toyotas, Volvos, and over 500 pre-owned vehicles. Bernardi for now, Bernardi for life, BernardiAutoGroup.com. We're going to start with opening thoughts. We're going to get to your calls. It's the same kind of Friday program, except we'll do a lot, of course, Stanley Cup Finals talk because we're here. We're here, so you might as well. Jimmy, you may release the hounds at 617-779-0985. That's your number. We'll get to you in 1 second. Opening thoughts, though. Who wants to go first?
Yeah, I'll go because it's obviously Game 3 related. The Oscar Sundquist suspension, I don't think it's that big of a surprise considering that everybody else that had to go in front of the league got popped. But either way, to me, as of right now, it's not good for the Bruins. It's a win for the Blues because this guy is a kind of a nothing role player, a depth guy at best for St. Louis. So he gets popped for one game in exchange for likely knocking Grizzlick out for the series. He's not traveling with the team, so he's certainly not playing tomorrow night, probably not going to play Monday. And it screws over the Bruins. It certainly screws over the Bruins' defense. Now they're going to have to go with five, or it'll be John Moore, essentially, that's going to be taking his place. But what's he, really? So that's a win for the Blues to me, unless, and this is a call for violence, unless, if they want to play this thing dirty or at least muck it up a little bit, then fine. Then I think the Bruins should start going eye for an eye in this and see if he can take out one of theirs.
Ooh, that's just the attitude I like. But that relates to my opening take as well. Do you have more?
Well, yeah. Tarasenko, Shen, Schwartz, any of these guys. If it's going to be like this and they want a mud fight, let's have it. Start slinging some mud and start going after one of theirs because this will affect the Bruins. Grizzlick, I think, matters. That's a bad loss for them.
Can I just interject quickly? Are we sure that Grizzlick's not playing tomorrow?
Yeah, I'm not. I said this from day one. Wait, I said from the first second. We don't know how badly he's hurt until the suspension comes down. Then you really find out.
So he didn't travel with the team, but they have not ruled him out for game three yet.
Oh, that's, come on.
You come on, Murray. They teams do this all the time. You try and get as big a suspension as you can. So you play up the injury. He went to the hospital. We don't know. He's in the protocol. He's not traveling. Then the NHL comes down with their discipline, and then you find out how hurt someone is. I'm not saying he's not. I don't know.
Hey, look, if this is just gamesmanship on behalf of the Bruins and Cassidy, then fine. And I hope that I'm wrong and Grizzlick does play. But when I hear he's not traveling, and I think it was Kevin Paul DuPont tweeted that night, too, he looked like he might be gone for the series. I'm taking it as that because that looked bad.
So are you calling for bounties, basically?
Yes. Then? Yeah, I'm calling. I want bloodlust. I have bloodlust. I'm calling for more violence. That's what I
the
want.
The law code of Murray.
All right, we're going to unleash some violence here on the streets of St. Louis. Maz, I might as well go next because mine is related to this, and I'm worried that attitude, that delicious attitude that I love from Murray, that I hope the series becomes too. I mean, look, call me a barbarian if you like, but I like the rough stuff. I like the violence. I'm good with it. Okay, I'm good with it. I wonder if the old nanas, as you would say, Murray, the old nanas out there are okay with it because I read this headline today on the Globe and I said, oh no, headline of Matt Porter's story in the Boston Globe. And this was only online. It wasn't really in the paper. This was the online headline. Bruins and Blues bang away at each other, and people are getting hurt. Subhead. The series has been brutally physical through two games. Will NHL officials do anything to curb that?
Ugh.
And I said, oh, no.
I hope not.
Here we go. Are we going to pick it outside the arena because of violence? are we calling 911? Are we convening parliament up in Canada?
The crown.
Really? Is this what we're doing? Oh. They're banging away each other, and people are getting hurt. Is there a more goopy Globe headline than that? And people are getting hurt. Sounds like we're talking about refugees at the wall or something, and people are getting hurt. Oh, you sissies, you ninnies, you nanas. Oh, and people are getting hurt. Oh, we have to stop the... Oh, it's so pathetic. I read that headline. I'm like, oh, no. Uh-oh. And then will the league do anything about it? So is the league getting called on by the old nanas out there and the PC police that we can't have this violence? And is the league going to place a call to these teams like they placed to the Bruins and Leafs after that delicious Game 2 in Boston? Remember the Game 2 in Boston?
Of course.
And you've been saying this the whole way, that the league placed a call to the Bruins and the Leafs and said, can't have any of that. A little too much fun, a little too violent. And that sort of nipped that in the bud. Is the league going to do the same thing here? As we take out one of their guys in Game 1, they took out one of ours in Game 2, and now Game 3, the league places a call and says, enough of this.
Yeah, my guess is it came between these two games.
That is...
I don't think it came after Game 1 is my point. I'd be willing to bet that that happened.
That disgusts me. And, you know, so when you read Matt Porter's story, it's not as bad. That headline is goopier than the actual story. You know, he points this out. Krug got frustrated with Perron. He took out Robert Thomas. Robert Thomas missed the next game, whether it was direct retribution or not. Sundquist took out Grzelcyk. Now Grzelcyk's out, eye for an eye, 1-1. Tough break for Grzelcyk, he says, but now what? Will officials continue to let the teams extract a pound of flesh? Or is this eye for an eye business done now that the two players are injured? Both the Bruins and Blues got here playing hard and physical. The bet here, says Matt Porter, it will get uglier.
Good. I hope it does.
Let's hope. And if you don't like the violence, don't watch it. Oh, God. So that's my opening take. That headline made me want to puke in my mouth.
Okay.
Maz, your opening take.
So I will go with the NBA Finals, which began last night, and the Toronto Raptors defeated the Golden State Warriors 118-109. But don't get your panties in a bunch, because my opening thought isn't what you think it is. And I'm not talking to you or you, Murray. I'm talking to the listener. This has nothing to do with Steph Curry. Okay? I read a story today, and I think this originated with Chris Haynes of Yahoo Sports, that the Warriors are now expecting Kevin Durant back in the middle of the series. Could be Game 3. More than likely, it is Game 4. Okay? And I heard that, and I said, oh, well, that's just going to ruin everything. That's going to ruin everything. If Durant comes back, they'll win the series. We all know that. If they have Durant and they have Curry and they have Green and they have Thompson, they're unbeatable. They're the best team in the world. There's no finals if that happens. It's a way better series if Durant stays out. You should be rooting for Durant to be out of the series, independent of where your rooting interests are. Last night was a competitive basketball game, and Toronto won the thing, and they had a spongy 2-10 point lead really the whole night. I mean, but I would say also, I think if Durant is out, the Raptors at least have a chance. If Durant comes back, there's no chance. What's the point of playing if Durant comes back?
Well, and for our purposes, Maz, I mean, to jump in, it doesn't settle anything.
Well, so there's that. I'm trying to...
We don't find out, if Durant comes back and they win. I still don't know if Durant is really a winner. You still don't know if Steph Curry's really a winner. And we're sort of in the middle. You stay out of take rehab, but nothing's really settled.
So, and honestly, I tried to leave our selfish interests out of it. I'm telling you purely from an entertainment standpoint, purely from a competitive product. It's a better series if Durant doesn't play.
No kidding.
It's way better if Durant doesn't play. I hope he doesn't come back. I hope he's done for the year, and I hope he's done in Golden State.
Okay, those are our opening takes. As usual, on an agenda-free Friday, we go to your phones. And let's lead off with Frank the Tank. Frank, I want to ask you, the Globe headline, Bruins and Blues bang each other away, and people are getting hurt. And now, will NFL officials do anything to curb that? Are you concerned about the violence, Frank, in this series?
Are you kidding me? You know, John Lennon once said, give peace a chance. Well, Frank the Tank says, give violence a chance. let them curb stomp each other if they want to. This is a man's game, okay? This is not Saturday soccer with your little six-year-old cheering them on with no goaltenders where everybody gets a trophy. No, these are men. It's okay to be men. If they want to kill each other on the ice for the ultimate prize in sports, let them do it. It's okay. It actually turns me on, to tell you the truth. Okay? Let them go for it. But let me get to my point. I hope that was a good enough answer for you, Mike.
It was.
These two games here in St. Louis, I had said to you guys earlier that I thought the home teams were going to hold serve. Well, that's obviously out the window now. If you're the Boston Bruins, the most important thing right now obviously is game three. But to tell you the truth, they should be looking to take both of these games in St. Louis and put a real stranglehold on the series.
Of course. Yeah, at St. Louis, I wonder about it. You know, the place is going to be bananas. The town is bananas. They're only 5-5 at home. The Blues in the playoffs are only 5-5 at home.
I didn't realize that.
And I, you know, it's just sort of the weird thing about the NHL playoffs that sometimes it's easier on the road for some teams. And I think the way St. Louis plays is that exact kind of team. They don't care if they put out a good product. They're not trying to, because you know, that's always the old thing that you're at home, you want to be entertaining too. It's your paying customer base, and you know they don't want to see a 2-1, you know, snooze fest every night. But on the road, you're free to play as boring as you want. And I wonder if that does translate to the playoffs in some way, shape, or form. You know, a good road period, 0-0. And that's really how St. Louis wants to play. And at home, you're just a little bit... So, I mean, all that's a long way of saying, as loud as it's going to be, whatever stupid bells and whistles they got, they're so much louder than us, blah, blah, blah. The building makes no difference to me. I'm trying to say.
At the very least, the ice can't be as bad as the Garden. You know, you're not going to get these weird bounces. I would think. I haven't really heard much about the ice here at the what the hell do they call this place?
Enterprise Center, Murray.
I'll tell you what. Maybe that's a benefit for the Bruins and someone like Chara who can't keep the puck on his stick.
So I wonder. I mean, I don't know. When's the last time they played hockey in St. Louis in June? Ever? They haven't. I think it's the first time ever. And so it's 88 degrees out here today, or 85 degrees. What's it like on the inside?
Okay, well, this is why you may have wondered why in our email chain I had Jimmy look up Bruins home road power play numbers in the playoffs. Do you know that they are a much, much better team on the road on the power play than they are at home? Hmm. Much better.
I think it has to do with the ice.
Maybe it's the ice.
You know what? I wouldn't rule that
out. Maybe it's the ice. That Garden ice is so lousy. And we know how they like to play on the power play, which is dipsy do, you know, right? Little, like, you know, touch pass here, behind the back pass there. They're trying to thread the needle on all these passes. And when they get home, they can't do it because the ice is a certain way. And they get on the road to a better sheet, and suddenly those passes go through.
It's the sound of theory as any.
I don't know. It just, maybe someone said that. Maybe it occurred to me. I don't know. But I do wonder about that.
I mean, I think it's going to be 80s here all 4 days.
Yeah. It is. You should see the ball sweat on Murray right now. It is through the roof.
I would never want to live here.
On the road, the Bruins have a power play percentage in the playoffs now of 41.7%.
Wow.
41.7% on the road in the playoffs. At home, they're 25%, which is still, you know, really good. But 40, almost 42% is through the roof. And is that because they get better ice on the road? I don't know. The regular season, it was just the opposite. So I wish that sample carried through to the regular season. The Bruins at home had the best power play in the league at home, and I don't have the number in front of me, but...
what a great stat.
So, but in the playoffs, it's way on the road. So is that circumstance or is that ice? I don't know.
And correct me if I'm wrong, just because I'm thinking here real quick. The only game three that they've won so far in this run was at Carolina. They lost in Toronto game
correct.
Three, and they lost in Columbus.
Yeah, so. They've been down 2-1 both times. Yeah.
So here we go. Felger and Maz from St. Louis. We continue with your calls. We'll bring in some guests as well, so don't go anywhere.
Felger and Maz. The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
The Stanley Cup Finals play here. Felger and Maz are in St. Louis, sponsored by Revise Energy on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
It is important to note that the boarding rule places the onus to deliver a legal check on the hitter. Therefore, while we acknowledge that Grizzlick does adjust his body position in making a play on the puck, He does not do so in a way that absolves Sundquist of responsibility for the nature of this hit. From the moment Sundquist hits the bottom of the faceoff circle until contact is made, Sundquist sees nothing but Grizzlick's numbers. This is not a situation in which a sudden and unexpected movement by the player receiving the check turns a legal hit into an illegal one at the last moment. To summarize, this is boarding. Grizzlick suffered an injury on the play. Sundquist has been neither fined nor suspended previously in his 144-game NHL career. The Department of Player Safety has suspended Oscar Sundquist for one playoff game.
There's your player safety video. What'd you think about the one gamer there, Mass?
So, I thought that's what it was going to turn out once I heard that they were going to have a hearing. I didn't think it would be more than that. And I think from that standpoint, the league basically got it right. You could certainly have had no suspension there, but given there was an injury on the play, which is a factor, as we know, and the fact that he did hit him from behind. I mean, there's no two ways about it, right up against the glass. I think it's fair. I think the whole thing's pretty fair.
Yeah, I thought it should be between zero and one. I know that sounds silly, but it's, you know, zero wouldn't offended me, and I don't think one should offend St. Louis. I think the NHL got it right in terms of what they punished him for, and that was how he went into the boards. And you just heard the description right there. Yeah, Grizzly made himself a little vulnerable, and yeah, it was along the boards, and there wasn't, you know,
no real attempt to peel off, or he was too fast.
Well, no, but that's what they said, you know, that he went in, and it's that player's responsibility not to deliver an illegal check, even if he's put in a rough spot. So you can't go in there like a bat out of Hades.
Exactly.
And that's basically, you know, what they got him for.
The bottom line is Grizzly's back was to him the whole time, and he hit him.
So, again, now the wonder is this become a tit for tat? Krug got Thomas, now Sundquist gets Grizzlick. And are we going back and forth? And which I have, you know, no problem with on the face of it. I have no problem on the face of it. But let me put it to you like this. Does the league look at it like that? Does the league say, uh-oh, now we're going back and forth?
Probably.
And now we have a tit for tat. And now we have bounties. And we can't have that. And this is a new league. And we have to show everybody this is a new league. And so we're going to get out in front of it. And we're going to have these refs tomorrow night. I don't even know who they are yet. But they're going to have, you know, their whistles so far down their throats, it's not even funny. Don't even breathe on someone or else you go into the box. And the league's going to try and make this less ugly, which I would hate. Which I would hate.
I mean, my guess is that that's how the league would interpret it.
Right? And so, here, bring him on. And so, that's just my worry. Bring him on. You know, that is my worry that they're going to get too nicey-nice and take out, you know, take out the edge that's developed in this series, which is getting great. I mean, that thing on Wednesday night was just a great physical battle. And so, like, let's not ruin the party, shall we? And, you know, as I say that, this is a great guy to talk to because the old quote, back in his day, this would not even be discussed. Stu Grimson of the NHL Network joining us now here on set on Felger and Mass. Stu, thanks so much for taking the time. Hey, we appreciate it.
My pleasure. Glad to join you guys.
So it's a good-looking crew.
Thank you.
It's a good-looking crew.
Yeah.
So, Stu, we were just talking about this. You were known back in your day to have a scrap or two and, you know, had a few penalty minutes.
I called it creating a safer work environment for my colleagues. Safer work environment for my colleagues. Yes, I busted heads for a living.
This is a kinder, gentler world and a kinder, gentler league, and we're worried that it's going to be too kind and gentle because now each team has taken out a player. We have a suspension, and I worry that the league is thinking now it's become a tit for tat, and they're going to step in and try and take away the edge from this series. That concerns me. Should I be concerned about that?
I don't think so. I really don't. As much as anything, I think the Sundquist suspension is probably a great message to both sides. Hey, guys, we want to play tough. We want to play a physical brand of hockey. And this goes to really both sides, I think. But you've got to make sure you're on the proper side of that line. Don't cross that line because it can cost you. And really, listen, I know these guys at the Department of Player Safety pretty well. They're a really objective group. It's a really hard job. It's hard to get it right in every single situation. I don't know that this whole notion of tit for tat. They got one. We got to give one to the other side. I don't know that it doesn't play into the thinking, into the approach.
Did you have a problem with the hit?
Yeah. Do you think Sunquist was over that line?
I do. It was primarily a hit to the head. The head was the primary point of contact. And to me, looking at Grizzlick, there was nothing that Grizzlick did to, at the last second, make himself vulnerable or put himself in a spot. So to take that hit primarily to the head, Sunquist had all kinds of time to gauge where Grizzlick was going to be, and he needed to have made contact with the body primarily. He missed the mark, and he's paying a price for it. In today's game, it's distinct from when I played. In today's game, the onus is on the hitter, not the hittee, the hitter, to get it right.
Okay, Stu Grimson again joining us here on set on Felger and Maz. In your day, if you were on the ice when that happened to your teammate, what would you have done? Was your nickname the Grim Reaper? I think it was.
I would have stripped my gloves off. I would have thrown one to opposite corners of the ice, and I would have skated out to neutral ice. I would have rolled up my sleeves, and I would have challenged Sunquist to lock horns. And I'm sure he would have turned me down because Sunquist is dumb, but he's not stupid.
Is the league a better place because that's not what's in the game anymore? Because I miss those days. I personally, as a fan, miss those days.
You know, I think it's a good thing that the league has not legislated fighting right out of the game, because the accountability that we're all kind of talking around, it's still there because fighting is an option. And I'm with you. I think it's an exciting part of the game. Is the game worse off for that? I don't know. I really do think the game's in a great place. These young guys today, they do things and they think things and they execute on things that guys in my era, even the elite level guys, they never even thought of doing. They had no inclination to do the things these guys do. They are brilliant with the puck and they're fast. It's just really remarkable.
So tell you what, let's rewind back to game one. The Krug hit on Thomas. Did you have a problem with that one?
I did not. It's a different hit in this respect. When Krug lowers the boom on Thomas, if you watch that, he gets primarily the body, the center of gravity where Thomas is concerned. So I thought it was good. And because it's primarily to the body, we don't even get into this, this discussion about the different, does he make himself vulnerable? Does he put himself in an awkward spot? Does he change his body at the last position? The onus was on Krug, and Krug made a solid hit.
Stu Grimson again joining us here. How do you see the series so far?
You know, this is an interesting series, and it's a good question. I think coming into the series, you had this was the critical question. The Bruins, I think, are more experienced. They are deeper in terms of the talent. By contrast, can this St. Louis team, who plays kind of a more working-class type game, a possession-style game, grinding away in the offensive zone, can they take that game and hold their own or better against the Bruins? Game two, I think, unlocked the answer to that question. I think we've got a series. The Blues can take that game, and they can hold their own against the Bruins. The urgency shifts as we transfer into game three come tomorrow night, but I think we got a fair fight on our hands. I think it's going to be a lot of fun.
How do you view the matchup of those first lines and how the Bergeron line is, frankly, getting its ass kicked by Shen and that group to the point where Cassidy has to run him off the ice?
Yeah, well, you know, the thing that I think would concern you if you're the St. Louis Blues, nobody gets the point you just made better than the top line for the Boston Bruins. Brad Marchand, coming out of game two, was very introspective, very self-critical. He knows that he and his line mates need to be better, and we've seen this. There have been kind of ebbs and flows, peaks and valleys to their performance, and as the series gets a little deeper, these guys elevate. Watch if that isn't the case tomorrow night or in game four.
How have you assessed the goaltending so far? Feels to me like it's kind of been a non-factor.
You know, I felt that way myself, and here's probably the best way to say it. You know, coming out of game one, I think the urgency shifts to St. Louis. They've got to bounce back. They've got to find a way to get into this series. Leaving Boston with a split would have been ideal. They got that. Bennington wasn't exceptional. He didn't kind of hold the Bruins at bay and make game-breaking save after game-breaking save. In fact, the two they got on him, I thought, were somewhat suspicious. Should have had him. He looked a little leaky through the legs. He really did. Rask on the other side, I think, has been quite dependable, but not the brilliance that you saw in the earlier rounds. So goaltending to me is almost playing to a wash and not been a, a significant factor. Other things to focus on to this point.
Yeah, no one stole. I don't think anyone's stolen anything.
Not to this point. I agree with that. I agree with that assessment.
I mean, if we see more, this is my concern in the series from the Boston side of it. If we see more of what we saw in Game 2, I don't know if the Bruins will hold up physically. I have just concerns that the Blues are so stinking big that they will beat the stuffing out of them. As the deeper it gets, I think the better the chances for the Blues. Do you agree or disagree?
No, I don't think I do agree. And, for me, a great indication of the way an upcoming game is going to go. It's not the answer by any stretch, but watch the way the urgency shifts from one game to the next. Going into Game 1, Boston at home, coming off a long layoff. I thought they had a lot to prove to themselves. They ultimately reverse a deficit, get a win. I thought the urgency shifted to St. Louis, and they were able to tap into it and win. To me, Boston. Now the urgency has shifted to Boston. They recognize we've conceded home ice advantage. We've got to win in this building, the Enterprise Center. The urgency rests with the Bruins. Watch if they don't elevate their game. There's more to the Bruins than we saw in game two, in my estimation.
Do you like the Bruins? Did you like them going into the series? That changed?
Absolutely. I would. Had you put that question to me prior to game one, and I was all over the air, all over everybody's air, saying to me, This is the Bruins series to lose. Coming out of game two, we got a fair fight. It's a closer question today, but I think if the Bruins can rediscover their best game and apply it consistently from game three throughout the rest of the series, again, it's theirs to lose, but it's going to be an interesting one.
Okay, Stu Grimson again. Thanks for coming by. We really do
appreciate it,
Stu. Catch him on the NHL Network pregame, postgame, their coverage all week long here from St. Louis. Here's an update from Murray, and we're right back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
On the road for the Stanley Cup Finals. Felger and Mass, sponsored by Revise Energy on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
And Toronto will dribble it out. The Raptors, in the franchise's first appearance in the NBA Finals, get the victory here in Game 1. Now you saw some talking there between Drake and Draymond Green. The excitement in this building and outside throughout the city off the charts, and the Raptors respond.
That's your final call on the Raptors last night. Maz's opening take was on that. He does not want Durant to come back, and it's not for selfish reasons. I only care about our selfish reasons. I care about our arguments and what Durant is as a player and what Steph Curry is as a player. And if Durant comes back, I don't think we find out anything about anybody. I still don't know anything about Durant. I still don't know anything about Curry. I mean, I think...
Well, we do kind of know about Curry. They did win a title.
Maz doesn't.
I know.
Oh, old Mr. Denial over here won't relent on it. So...
But don't we find out... I mean, what are we going to find out about Durant?
Nothing. Right, nothing. Oh, no. I find out about something if he doesn't come back.
Well, exactly. Right. So the point being they can win without him, right?
Exactly.
I'm telling you, it's a way better series if he doesn't come back. Way better.
No question.
And I think Toronto's got some elements that can give Golden State a hard time. They get some length there. They get some size.
Okay, let's just chew on this for 1 second, and then we're going to get your phones, I promise. It's agenda-free, and we're mostly hockey, but, we do everything on Fridays. This is what we do. Steve Kyler, he covers the NBA. Murray mentioned this during his update, in case you missed it. Steve Kyler covers the NBA and basketball for Basketball Insiders. I don't know who he is. I don't know what that website is. I don't care. He's got a lot of followers. Does he have a blue check mark,
Jimmy?
He does
have a blue check mark.
Okay.
Yep.
He reports the following on Twitter. All I can tell is what's happening behind the scenes, .. Boston is not operating like a team focused on Irving and Davis. In fact, the things they are exploring run counter to a Davis and Irving future. So what do you think that means? Like they're in on Clint Capella, or they're...
Carl Anthony Towns.
Talking to Kemba Walker, or they're in on Karl Anthony Towns, or, you know, they're after a point guard and a big guy.
Yes. I've read more than three or four tweets from people that cover the league that say that one of the teams interested in the sell-off in Houston is the Celtics, so I got to think maybe it's someone like Capella.
How would you feel about Capella?
Nice,
sure.
Nice enough player.
Yeah, I mean, any sort of big guy that can run the floor, and, you know, again, I got to delve deeper into the player. Like, can he be on the floor at the end of the game and make free throws?
Can he shoot? Right, I was going
right.
to say.
So, you know, because to me, those go hand in hand, right? But if you're talking to me about any sort of big guy that can give him scoring near the hoop and a little bit of defense on the interior, I'm in. So the question then becomes, what are the Celtics doing? Do they know Kyrie's gone? And they're lining, you know, getting their ducks in a row for the postseason, or are they just covering their ass? Like, and I venture to guess it's more the first thing than the second thing.
Well, we can report with confidence something on Jason Tatum and his whereabouts. He's in St. Louis.
Yes.
Because he was on our flight this morning. Poor fella.
I thought I was the most miserable person on that flight, and then I took one look at him, and boy, what a mope.
Poor guy. We're not going to mention airlines because we love all potential sponsors, but this is a particular airline that... maybe not the best for an NBA player.
Yeah.
Put it like that. Yeah. No real first class. Actually, there's not even seats.
That hood up and sunglasses on as soon as he got on.
But when you're 6'6", you can't hide. So anyway, Tatum back here in St. Louis. Back to your calls. Cam and Taunton, give us an NBA thought quickly.
I know we beat this to a horse, but my takeaway last night was my anger towards the Celtics just intensified because Golden State is vulnerable without Durant. And you have played them well for years, but because your bitchiness and you couldn't get out of your own way and you couldn't figure out whose team it was, you're sitting at home with your thumbs up your rear ends while the Raptors are in the finals. And also, I get a little bit mad at Danny Ainge for passing on Kawhi Leonard, giving up what the Spurs got for him, how little the Raptors gave up. So that's twofold. That's where my anger was.
Cam, what was that first thing you said? Golden State is what?
Vulnerable.
Vulnerable. Without who?
He said without Durant.
Without Durant. That's an interesting perspective. A lot of people thought they were just world beaters anyway.
Yes, they are. They're less of a team. And if the Celtics reach their ceiling without all the a-holery, they would have given Golden State a good run.
No question about it.
But that doesn't mean that Steph Curry's not a number one to build around. Both things can be true, don't you understand?
I suppose. I'm just telling you, I like what I saw last night from the Raptors. Okay, I like what I saw.
They're at home, game one.
No, absolutely.
Golden State was coming off a long layoff.
Absolutely true.
That was Toronto's night to get.
All true.
You know, if this is going to be a five-game series, that was going to be the game.
Yeah, they had to win that one. I agree with all of that. I will also tell you that between Siakam and Gasol, they scored what? 52 points or something like that, the two of them. I mean, those are big guys that I think are going to give Golden State some trouble. At the same time, I thought Golden State did a really good job on Kawhi Leonard. They got a bunch of guys that can defend him, so that's going to be interesting. And it looks to me like Kyle Lowry is on the floor to do two things. Give the ball to other people and distribute at the offensive end and play defense.
Okay. Felger Mass continues from St. Louis, site of the Stanley Cup Final. Games 3 and 4 come your way here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. And we're here for it, baby. We got today's program. We'll give you a 3.5-hour show tomorrow on Saturday up until the game. We'll be here Monday before game 4. So settle in, fellas. We're taking St. Louis. And when we come back, I got to wonder, did the Bruins wake up the Blues? Did the Bruins wake up the Sleeping Giants? Did you wake up a sleeping giant with all your nonsense about the Frakakta Tory Krug hit? Okay, mm-hmm. We'll get to that right after these words.
This is Felger and Mass
on 98.5
The Sports.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Felger and Mazur in St. Louis for the Stanley Cup Finals. Sponsored by Revise Energy on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Wedge to the near hash marks. Hot in front.
Oh, what a battle in front of the net going on right now.
Here's Heinen over the line, high slot.
Tory Krug and Perron still going at it.
Left of the net, back of the cage. Krejci turns, looks, centers. McAvoy shoots off Achari's leg and wide. Krug came in. Just ran him over, and Krug was
old-time hockey. Tory Krug with a battle in front of the net with David Perron, and a long one after the power play. Thomas saw him coming to the last second. Clean hit by Tory Krug. He came a long way. He wanted somebody. David Perron just tackled Krug in front of the net. Then the two of them went at it. Referee just decided to let it all go. You either call them both, you don't call either one of them. They didn't call either one of them. But Krug, he was going to finish somebody. Full chops from the bench as he came to the bench.
That Tory Krug hit, boy, we had fun with that for 48 hours. And then did St. Louis answer? And did that, I don't know, the whole talk back and forth, get them up just a little bit more, having to listen to that for 48 straight hours? And us overplaying that thing, because let's face it, we overplayed that thing. It was a cool visual, but really, for crying out loud, it was to their 19-year-old rookie, not exactly taking out one of their big guys. And, well, you know, to me, a response like I'm going to read to you right now was sort of, I think, expected. This is Ben Fredrickson in the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. This was in the Globe today. I enjoyed this, but Ben Fredrickson is a columnist for St. Louis. And he writes, after Bruins defenseman Tory Krug knocked out rookie Robert Thomas into the TD Garden press box, Boston made it more than clear this Stanley Cup final could become as physically punishing as the Blues desire. And then he quotes Tory Krug, quote, if you want to punch us in the mouth, look us in the eye, we're willing to do that as well, Krug said, as Beantown Media turned his flying hit into Bobby Orr 2.0.
He's so right. I mean, look, you know, I agree with what he's writing so far, but go ahead.
So, you know, he played, you know, you want to punch us in the mouth, look us in the eye. We're willing to do that, said Krug, as the Boston media turned that into Orr 2.0. And then he writes, teams from Boston, they do tend to struggle with proper inflation. He says the Bruins might have put a little too much air in their chest before Wednesday night slugfest. Carl Gunnarsson, the defenseman they call Boom Boom, landed the knockout punch in Game 2 that required a mouth guard just to watch. Down goes Boston. Anything is possible now. Like, see, with your nonsense, now you're inviting their nonsense.
Yeah.
So you asked for this, frankly.
Well, it seemed like the Blues, you know, welcomed it from the jump. They were running guys as soon as that game started. And then you had that thing that I think Jimmy mentioned yesterday. There's been a clip that went viral I certainly didn't see watching it live, was Pat Maroon goes by the bench and says, you guys are effed.
That's a great, now that's, you know, like, that's good.
I like that. I told you, he'd be a great Bruin. I love that guy.
So he writes, Fredrickson writes that the Blues bruised with 45 hits, totaling 14 more than the Bruins, in a devastating display. None was bigger than Sundquist's second-period smash of Matt Greslick. Boston's defenseman, like Thomas, is now a question mark moving forward. And at the time, the punishment hadn't come down. Could he be punished by the league? No comment, Sundquist said, of the play. Fredrickson writes, his hit made his statement. It said, this series is not for the squeamish.
I'm telling you, seriously, when I read this column, you sent it along. I hadn't seen it. When I read it, did the guy take his pants off before he started typing?
Telling you, but you asked for this with your pants off display of a simple open ice hit by Tory Krug. You asked for this. He writes, it was a throwback. It was grown man's hockey. Played as hard as the late May ice at TD Garden is soft. Ooh, he takes a shot at your building. It deserved an encore, and it got one, becoming the first Stanley Cup final to reach overtime since 2016. I didn't know that.
It's amazing.
And then he wrote this graph at the bottom. He says, this trip to Boston has not been welcoming to the Blues.
Oh, I saw this.
Craig Berube was stopped on his way to the series opening press conference and asked to present a credential. Hey, Mac, get over here. You can't just walk in there. Who are you? Hey, kid, get over here.
Yeah, who are you? I need to see your pass.
He looks like every other bald media member.
So Berube was stopped on his way to his opening.
They probably thought he stumbled in from Chelsea.
He was stopped on his way to his series opening press conference and asked to present a credential. Blues alum Barrett Jackman was pulled off an elevator to make room for Patriots coach Bill Belichick.
Yeah. Good.
You know your role, idiot.
Exactly, right. Who the hell are you? I don't care if you're Hugh Jackman. Get off.
He writes, Blues staffers who were flown in for Game 1 had popcorn thrown at them in the stands.
They deserved it, probably.
Welcome to Boston.
Yeah, they're lucky it wasn't liquid.
Heck, he writes, even one of the cameramen from a St. Louis news station was welcomed to his hotel room by a rat in his toilet.
That's fake.
And we're not talking about the nickname that belongs to ankle-biting Bruins sniper Brad Marchand. So Berube gets asked for his credentials in the building. They kick off again, I can't remember who that is.
Jackman.
For Belichick. There's popcorn thrown at the blue staffers.
Oh, did it hurt?
And there was a rat in the toilet.
A rat in the toilet, yeah. Well, pick a better hotel. I go to let me know the name of the place, and I'll tell you whether or not whether you deserved it. Like, seriously,
it's the Stanley Cup Final. You shouldn't expect hospitality. I certainly don't expect hospitality here if I'm going to be wearing any Boston gear.
So anyway, that's sort of the mood there. I think it started with the overhyping of the Krug thing, but that's just us. That doesn't have anything to do with the teams. I'm concerned about this becoming a really physical series, which I love and I want. I'm concerned about the PC police, the old nanas out there, people who are worried about violence and headshots and this thing. I'm worried about the league being over worried about this thing and them stepping in and sort of curtailing what is fast becoming a really nice, violent, ugly series, which is what I want.
So my question to you is, if the series is played at the tenor of game two, okay, I'm not saying that one team...
Yes, I'm okay with it.
I think the Bruins lose if that happens.
I don't.
I do.
I've said it a million times over. If the tenor of the series had become super skilled and I look across the ice and I see guys that are just better than the Bruins, if I see Pat Kane and Jonathan Toews and Seabrook and Keith and Gretzky and Messier and all these teams the Bruins have lost to in the finals and I see those players, Lemieux and Jagr, and then I'm saying, well, now that's what scares me. When I look across at that group and I say, well, they're just physical and big, I think they can handle that. I still feel that way. Pete on Cape Cod, back to the phones. What do you got, Pete?
Hey, guys. I'm all with you guys. I think they should muck it up. I mean, how many times did Tuukka Rask get bowled over in his own net and there was nothing, just face washing? Drop a glove, drop some chiclets, you know?
I don't think that's going to happen, Pete. I mean, I wish it would. Believe me. I take it. Love it. Love a fight. Playoff fights are great. I don't think that's going to happen, but if people are running people, then keep running people. I'm happy to do that. And, you know, don't get carried away. Rask helped those goalie interferences. He was fine.
So, look, again, as long as they get penalties for him, and they did, in theory, it should help you. As long as no one gets hurt, you just have to score on the power play. Like, it would start there. I just think if the Bruins are the more skilled team, shouldn't they be hoping for a more skilled game?
Yeah, but they're not super skilled. I mean, they're not. So, to me, their calling card is their versatility. And I don't think they're a super skilled team. I don't think they're that they profile as that, but I think they can handle the rough stuff, and I think they can play with skill. I'm just telling you, the gap that St. Louis presents in physicality and size I don't find is insurmountable. I'd much rather have that gap than a talent gap or a skill gap. Tyrone in New Hampshire, yes, Tyrone.
Yes, I want to say that if Grizzlick is the reason why we lose a series, then that's garbage. Marshawn needs to be Marshawn, that little Kevin Nucleus of baseball.
Okay, you're right. If Grezlick is a tipping point, then you weren't that good. I agree with that.
I mean, that shouldn't be the blow that, you know, that takes you down. It hurts, but it shouldn't be the one that takes you down. At the end of the day, they do have to get that first line going.
No question.
I know that is sort of the easy topic here, but it hits you so squarely in the face. I don't know how you overlook it. If those guys don't start playing better, you know, the Bruins are going to have some difficulty here. And it starts with Marchand, I'm sorry, because his game's got more grit to it than either of the other two guys on that line. Not that Bergeron's soft, because he's not. But Marchand's a rat. Like, he's got to be a little more ratty.
It's Felger and Maz from St. Louis and the Stanley Cup Final. Still on an agenda-free Friday. Right back to your phones after Murray's 90-second update. No.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.